Talk. Medical matters.
18 minutes after 8 o'clock, before I speak to Dr. Bruce Lalala, Clive makes a very interesting point. He says, "Bra Obs, how on earth can you even think of using the word sexy to do with any war? I know what you're trying to say. It's not a war that receives as much publicity as others, but sexy, please, no. Find a different description or just say that it is, as it is, it doesn't receive as much publicity," says Clive in Randburg. Well, Clive, I love your reaction because that's exactly the reaction that I've been looking for. Yeah. It's precisely the reaction that I've been looking for, because that word was used quite deliberately to spark the debate that says, why is it that it appears that all wars are not created equal in the way that we speak about them? The general media reportage about those wars. Sure. So while I get your point that your relationship with the word sexy is offended in this particular conversation, but it's done exactly what I wanted it to do, to outrage you a little bit. And I'm happy to have that conversation with you as we continue. Dr. Bruce Lalala is my guest, a plastic reconstructive and aesthetic surgeon. Dr. Lalala, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for having me.
So let's start off with this idea of plastic surgery. I hear this all the time, but it appears that plastic, you know, the polyurethane or whatever, poly whatever, never plays much of a role in the reconstructive and aesthetic surgery that you are involved in. Would I be correct?
Yes, correct. I mean, the word plastic surgery, you know, came from a Greek word called plastikos, meaning to mold. Hence why plastic surgery. It doesn't really mean that we use plastic to make people look beautiful.
Yeah, because I've always wondered why it is that we keep using the word plastic, when yeah. I've come to understand, because I was one of the people that believed or thought, because of the use of the word plastic, that at some point in the surgery, plastic features, later discovered that there's no such. So it is because of the word, because it's of the idea of molding, yeah?
Correct.
Ah,
to mold and to recreate and reshape. Yeah.
Sure, and of course it's a part of medicine, I suppose, that's been associated with the glamour of Hollywood and the people that are well healed, people with resources to focus on issues such as aesthetics.
Well, sadly, that's what is portrayed in the, you know, in the media.
Yep.
And that's what we grew up seeing on TV, but unfortunately that's only like 20% of what plastic surgeons do. A lot of what we do is reconstruction. We deal with patients with cancer, with severe trauma, severe burns, and we reconstruct those patients. So we spend a lot of time doing reconstructive work, which is a huge bulk of what we do. So what you see on TV and media and on Instagram, it's just a small portion of what we do.
And, of course, what you do also in your repertoire of surgeries is precisely what we're going to be talking today, breast reduction surgery. Under which circumstances do we see the need for breast reduction surgery?
Well, that's a very, very, very common operation that we do as plastic surgeons, and I think that's across the, you know, the globe. It's one of the very, very common operations that we do. So when patients start getting symptomatic from having heavy breasts, that includes, you know, neck, back pain, chronic headaches, some will have tingling around the fingers, they will have, some will even have degenerative disease of the spine, and most of the patients will mostly consult with their GPs, and they'll be sent to chiropractors, and they'll be sent to orthopedic surgeons, and so forth, up until, you know, finally they're referred to us, and we resolve the problem by offering them a breast reduction. So, you know, this can range from, especially in the African population. You know, when I spend my time during my fellowship in the UK, they don't have as much a big breast as we do in our country or in our continent, in our African continent.
Yeah.
So in the African population, we tend to have a very huge problem with large breasts.
Yeah.
And what causes them, you know, it's still unknown, but, you know, there's numerous theories what leads to what you refer to as macromastia or gigantomastia.
So it's got the effect of disturbing, I suppose, the skeletal integrity of a patient, you say?
It's got major functional implications. You know, you can imagine someone carrying 6-7 kgs on their chest. And how do you expect that person to have a normal function? Yes. I mean, the most I've taken out of someone's breast was about 11.5 kgs. So it can be severe. So you can imagine. I mean, an example, a full-term baby weighs about 2.5 kgs.
Yes.
And you've seen how pregnant females struggle to walk around.
Sure.
When they're at term. So now imagine someone carrying 4 or 5 kgs on their breast on a daily basis. How that affects their daily functioning? How do you expect that person to function optimally, to exercise, and also to you know, they struggle to have proper clothing. They struggle mentally because this affects, you know, it affects their self confidence.
Yes,
and you know, I've had number of patients who are uncomfortable undressing in front of their partners because now, you know, they feel unattractive.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be debilitating. And I've had patients where, because this usually starts when you reach puberty. Mm-hmm. Most of the patients, the breast grows rapidly during that time because of the hormonal change. So the breast tissue becomes way more, like, becomes too sensitive.
Yes.
To the hormonal changes, and then you get this rapid growth of breasts. So you get kids in primary school who are wearing size D cup already, and they struggle to play sports. And I've had a few patients who were victims of rape because of this, you know, because of the size of their breasts. So it can have major implications on someone's physical and mental health.
Sure. 011-883-0702. Have you got a family member that has had breast plastic reconstructive surgery? Have you perhaps been somebody that has had to make that decision to go and have your breast reduced because of the discomforts that come from the size of those breasts? What has the journey been like? What were the issues that you faced that, you know, that made you decide to go that route? The number to dial is 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. My guest is Dr. Bruce Lilala, and he is a plastic reconstructive and aesthetic surgeon. I see that you're not just a reconstructive, but you're also an aesthetic surgeon. And I imagine the aesthetics, as far as your title is concerned, places quite a lot of value on what things look like too, Dr. Lilala.
Yes, correct. I mean, that refers to, you know, the beauty part, the cosmetic part. So yeah. I think every plastic surgeon in the country, especially if you go into the private sector, automatically, you know, you do a lot of cosmetics, unlike when you're in the public sector where you do more reconstructive work.
Is I imagine that how one looks, I mean, we touched a little bit on the psychological effects of, and you gave a name for the condition where somebody has oversized breasts. What is that name, Dr. Lilala?
So we have two terms for it. So, called macromastia. So as soon as the patient is symptomatic and the breasts are bigger than the body frame, then they have macromastia. But then if you then excise more than 1.5 kgs of tissue on each breast, then that becomes a gigantomastia.
Gigantomastia. So
yes,
macromastia and gigantomastia. I imagine that how it looks, besides what it feels like, but how it looks can be something that affects the patient at a deep psychological level too, yeah?
It does. It does. Because some of these patients, you know, they would suffer from chronic infection because underneath the breast, they keep sweating a lot because of the size of the breast. And then they get repeated fungal infections. They, you know, they get chronic pain. They get so naturally they become unhappy. They become unhappy and unattractive, and that has, you know, major implications on their self confidence.
Let me take a call from Noctula in Springs. Noctula, good evening to you.
Good evening. How are you, Apri?
I'm very well, Sizi. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Talk to me.
You know, yes, I become so emotional or touchy when you touch this topic.
Mm.
I've been a victim of this at my teenage stage. It was very much difficult for me. I had to wear a D size while I was still at primary school, and it was very difficult for me. You know, you get that stigma. You remember they will say that with a girl with a big breast, yeah, maybe she's sleeping around and whatsoever. So it was a big problem with that. Knowing exactly you haven't done anything, but they just grew. You don't know what happened to you.
Yeah.
Even reached a stage whereby I was working, I've tried to reduce them. Lucky enough, I got a counseling from a person at work. They just sent me for counseling there, whereby I have received an advice that if I can lose weight a bit, then I will see the difference. Because my problem was one, it was causing a backache. I used to suffer a lot. I couldn't wear shirts where I would button them; they would be open. And fortunate enough, I'm small in my waist, or at my waist. So now here is the big breast. Now I can't wear any shirts and whatsoever. But then after I've received counseling, you know, I've started to lose weight. I actually went to gym. I've lost weight a bit. And lucky enough, I've lost a huge amount of weight.
Yes.
And then I am able to control them now. I still have my breast. But now they are controllable. I can wear the size, the breast, the bra that I love. Because you can't even wear the kind of bra that you want to wear.
Yes, yes.
You have to stick to those bras. And remember, you are still very young. You have to buy those bras for old women or for adults, of which it hurts as well. So now, yes, losing weight, it might assist, but then it's very much painful. It's
sure.
Not an easy journey.
Have you, Noctula, perhaps entertained the idea of breast reduction surgery?
I've entertained it before I got counseling. Because before then, they counseled me, telling me the advantages and disadvantages of a breast reduction. So I have listened, and then I've tried the options of losing weight. After that weight loss, at least I can manage them right now. Even
sure.
the back pains I no longer have.
Sure,
but
sure.
It was not an easy journey, Opry. Believe you me, it's not easy. You're losing your confidence.
Yes.
Everything. You just feel that you are not good enough. You are not beautiful enough.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with you. So, yes, other people.
Noctula, thank you very much for sharing your story with us. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Much appreciated. Lydia on Twitter says, Orbs, can you ask the doctor, please, can menopause affect the breast in terms of gaining weight? And for me, Dr. Bruce, is this a matter that is simply or that's similar to just weight gain, weight loss? Is there something at play here other than the issue of weight loss, weight gain? Help me with that.
Well, there's two factors. The breast is made up of breast tissue, and there's fat cells also that are included in the breast. So if you gain weight, a lot of weight, your breast size is going to increase. If you lose weight, some of your breast tissue will reduce in terms of size. But a huge bulk of it is the actual breast tissue, and that can be influenced by the hormonal changes. So you can get a hyper response to the hormones, and the breast will grow. Hence why the breast will grow during, you know, during pregnancy. They will get big and engorged. And then also, like I said, during that puberty phase where the hormones are changing, that's your breast tissue responding to the hormones.
Mm-hmm.
But also the weight factor comes in because of the fat cells that are involved in the breast tissue.
Mm-hmm. Speak to Maruping in Midrand. Good evening to you, Maruping.
Hi. Hi. My experience, I actually grew up with a big breast. And, you know, when you grow up, you're told that, you know, this is hereditary. You took after your great-grandmother.
Mm.
Very, very uncomfortable, you know, experience. I mean, I'm one of those people that used to wear cross your heart, you know. It sort of reminds me of those Starterford days where they had those big brands.
Yes.
And I really went as far as wearing a ENG. They actually had an ENG. And obviously, as I grew older, I wanted, you know, sort of the fancy bra.
Sure.
I went as far as getting those fancy ones, but they were very expensive. By 2008 a year, I decided that I'm going to save money, and I'm going to make sure that I deprive myself for certain things, because at the end of 2008, I wanted to do a breast reduction.
Yes.
I never looked back. And I tell you, it was such a... I'm relieved because I no longer have backache. I actually even had a sort of a, you know, where the bra sits, you know, the straps, I sort of had a, it was a black mark.
Yes,
caused
yes.
By this heaviness of the breast.
Yes, it was basically,
you know,
scarring,
larger,
right?
Than
yeah.
You. It's larger than your frame.
Yes.
And really, yeah. And I would say to women that are considering it, that was the best thing ever. I mean, I'm comfortable now. I can exercise. I just wear bra for the sake of wearing it because it was done very well. Breast reduction is one option, and I guess, you know, it really depends on your preferences.
Of
but
course.
For me, it worked, and it worked very well.
Of course.
And interestingly, what they took out of the tissue that they took out, when they tell you of the weight of what you were tearing,
yes.
You know, you sort of wonder, did I really, really care this much? Yeah. It's, you know, the self-esteem, when you grow up as a teenager, it takes it away. But, I mean, as you grow older, you get comfortable. But the reality is that it is also a health factor. I mean, your back ache, and you can't wear clothes that you button. You can't choose to wear certain tops.
Sure.
When you wear size 34, a top must be a size 36, which, it's sort of an inconvenience, you
indeed,
know, throughout
indeed,
the life.
Indeed.
Yeah,
Maruping, thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you very, very much. Dr. Bruce, it appears to me that the as bad as the physical sort of difficulty of carrying so much breast, but mostly it's the psychological sort of stigma that goes with it that seems to be the biggest sort of problem for many women.
Yes, it is. And also, you know, in certain communities, you know, ladies with big breasts, they tend to get more attention, and
sometimes it's unwanted attention.
Or,
yeah,
correct. Yes, and then they get mocked, and they get associated with, you know, certain things, and some of them even become victims of rape. So there is major psychological implications. And I must say, you know, I'm yet to see an unhappy patient post breast reduction.
Yeah.
I've done hundreds and hundreds of these, and these patients are the most happiest patients post op. Yeah. They come back, you know, glowing. The self esteem comes back, and they're the happiest patients.
Mm. Benji says, Aubrey, I'm a male, but I'm having my boobs growing. I've been to doctors for scans, but they see nothing. My GP says I have to see an endocrine. Oh, my word. I have to see...
endocrinologist.
I'm just trying to get that message. I think so. I think that's what he's saying. An endocrinologist and scared to see one, says Benji. Says, I'm scared to see one. Talk to me about men and enlarged breasts, Bruce. And do you cater for them in the surgery that you do?
Yes, yes, I do see quite a lot of male patients. That condition that they have is called gynecomastia. So also the same problem. The breast tissue, you know, in certain males, they have, some of them, they have a slightly higher estrogen level. And then they grow breast. And also the weight also plays a role, obesity. And then they end up with the gynecomastia. Also, it's graded into certain classes. So yeah, we have A, B, and C, you know, we use the Simon's classification. But and then depending on the classification, then we do a specific operation for that. But yes, to answer your question, yes, I do see, well, as plastic surgeons, we do see this condition, and it's called gynecomastia. And you know, it's also psychologically very daunting for males, because, you know, imagine having to undress and your breast size is almost a C cup.
Sure.
So you can imagine what that does to your psychology, you know, your psychological well-being. So also it is a big problem. And as you know, males don't talk about their problems.
Sure.
So it takes a lot for them to come through and seek help for these, you know, for this condition.
Benji is expressing fear to even go and see an endocrinologist. What are your thoughts? What are your messages for Benji as far as that is concerned?
Well, I think he shouldn't worry. He can go ahead and see an endocrinologist. Like I said, sometimes it's usually a hormonal imbalance. So the endocrinologist will have a look. And sometimes some people will have something in the brain that is leading to this hormonal problem. So the endocrinologist will be able to pick that up, and it can be treated accordingly. If it's just purely a gynecomastia, then he will be referred to a plastic surgeon for an operation.
Eddie is in Bedford View. Good evening to you, Eddie.
Hi, good evening. My wife had the breast size issue about 8 years ago. We did the surgery, and I think it's made a huge difference. But I've noticed my daughter, she's 21, her breast tends to be a bit oversized, to a point where she's noticing that, and already I can see her being affected to a certain extent. To the point where sometimes she's putting herself in a diet, a forced diet, just doesn't want to eat, because it's like already playing in her mind.
Yes.
Is there any risk if we do a plastic surgery, if later on she wants to have baby and breastfeed, is that possible?
Thanks very much for that question, Eddie. Dr. Lalana?
Yes, so one of the theories is that, you know, this is genetic, so it can run through, you know, family generation. And yes, we do offer, you know, operations as young as the age of 13. And, you know, with the technology and the techniques over the years, you know, things have improved. So with the techniques that we use now, yes, patients will be able to breastfeed. However, some of them might have to augment. You know, the breast milk that it will produce will not be enough for the baby. They'll have to augment that. But in general, yes, they will be able to breastfeed in future.
Let's speak to Crescentia in Port Elizabeth. Hi, Crescentia. Am I pronouncing your name properly?
Yes, you are, Andrew. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Thank you, Crescentia. What's your question or comment for Dr. Lalala?
Hi, Doctor. How are you?
I am fine, and you, ma'am?
I'm good. Doctor, with me, I did weight loss surgery, and I've lost quite a lot of weight to the point whereby I feel like I'm now, my breasts are like different sizes. And I've got some sort of a hunchback, like the breast is way over, you know. So there are, I think, questions that I was asking myself, that when you are doing the breast reduction, the tissue, because if you find that the fat, like they are starting from the back, because the skin is hanging from the back. So when you are doing the tissue, is it going to distribute
reshaping the tissues from the back, what is going to happen, things like that, if you've got that extra skin and you only want to focus on doing breast reduction. And again, my second question is the common problems after doing the breast reduction.
Thanks very much for that question, Crescentia. Doc?
Yes, I didn't get the second part of her question, but to answer the first question is that, yes, you know, with massive weight loss patients, they get saggy skin after they've lost a lot of weight. So the skin becomes very saggy, they get stretch marks. And then when we do the reduction, we remold the breast and then we fill up that upper pole and then we give them back the, you know, cleavage, if I may call it that way. And mostly for massive weight loss patients, usually the standard incision that we do, then we have to extend it towards the back because they get this axillary fullness and also they have hanging tissue from the back. You know, those folds that females hate, you know, on the back.
Yeah.
So with massive weight loss patients, those are, you know, exaggerated. So usually we tend to have to extend the incision, but also still hide it along the bra line.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get the second part of the question.
I've still got Crescentia. Crescentia, what was the second part of your question?
It's common problems after breast reduction, especially when you've got a whole lot of skin that they also need to remove.
Okay. So, you know, common problems that we see, a breast reduction, it is an operation like any other operation, and any operation you run risk of, for example, infection, hence why we cover with antibiotics. You can get what we call a seroma, which is a fluid collection, because sometimes there might be a dead space, hence why we use drains for a couple of days post-op. And you might have a wound breakdown, especially in the middle of the underneath the breast, that's where the most tension is when we close. We call that the angle of sorrow. So in most patients, that can open up a bit, but it usually heals with just wound care. And also, you know, the larger the breast, the higher the risk of losing the nipple or losing the overlying skin of the areola. And also the sensation, because as we are lifting, we can go through the septum where the nerves are running. We call it the Virunga septum. So if you know, the larger the breast, the higher the chances that we will have to go through your septum where the nerves are running, and then you can lose the sensation on the nipple. But in general, these are things that are easily manageable.
Lydia asked the question on Twitter, can you please ask the doctor, can menopause affect the breast in terms of gaining weight? Just as we talk about the weight question, V sends me the question, says, hi doctor, I've just lost about 40 kilograms and I've never really had big breasts, but with the weight loss I now have saggy breasts. Can that be fixed? With that, can I do it the same day as a tummy tuck? Asks Viv.
Okay, so the first question, the menopause. So the menopause causes a lot of physiological changes in your body, and most commonly patients will tend to gain weight as part of the physiological change. So yes, the breast can grow when you hit menopause because of that, of the hormonal changes.
Yes.
And then also the saggy breast with the excess skin, we do a procedure called a mastopexy, where we remove the excess skin and then we lift up your breast. And then we give you the size that the ideal size for your body and what you're looking for. And then also, yes, most commonly we do these as combined procedures, breast reduction or mastopexy with a tummy tuck that we safely do. So to answer your question, yes, it can be done at the same setting.
Nozipho is in Midrand. Good evening to you, Nozipho.
Good evening, Stanley.
Aubrey and Bruce, Nozipho.
Sorry.
It's fine.
Okay. It's fine. All right. So I actually wanted to ask the doctor, right, that I'm one of those with the kind of biggish breasts, right, and I've never really had a problem with them, right, because mine are much more on the cutish side, right, but with age now, they're kind of saggy, right, actually quite a bit. And now I'm wondering if I can do a breast reduction with the lift at the same time, right? So not a breast reduction such that, yes, they become smaller and that's that, but I want them to be smaller but still, you know, be kind of made to look a bit beautiful. Is it possible with my own tissue?
Dr. Bruce?
Yes. Yes, that's definitely possible. And then that procedure is called the mastopexy, the one that I just described. So we don't take a lot of tissue, of breast tissue, as we do in the breast reduction. So we just take, usually on average, we take about 200 to 300 grams of breast tissue, and then we take out the excess skin, and then we lift up your breast. And then it's called a breast lift or a mastopexy. So yes, it can be done.
Nosipos speaks of using my own tissue. Does other people's tissue sometimes get used?
No. We always use your, you know, a patient's own tissue. So, but sometimes patients will want to put implants in to have that, permanent upper pole fullness and projection.
So, let's speak to B in Cape Town. Good evening to you, B.
Cape Town. Hi. Dr. Lalala, just before I ask the question, I'd just like to say for Benji, he must stop eating foods that have female oestrogen in them. You know, the hormone oestrogen, oestrogen.
And those
are soya, eggs, and chicken. And also don't use a deodorant with aluminium in it. It gives both men and women breast cancer. And the thyroid can be sorted out by taking iodine from Faithful to Nature, and a whole lot of other places have it, iodine. That'll sort the hormone problem out to reduce his breast. Now, my question is, doctor said that he, you know, my mother had big, well, my mother, when she got married, was flat. She had three kids, and her breasts got quite big. So I noticed they sagged. Now, after doctor has done an operation, and he says he lifts the breasts to keep them up or, you know, sort of perky or I don't know what you call it. Anyway, I want to know how long does it take with a person not putting on weight? How long does it take for them to start sagging again? Because, you know, they don't make them small breasts. They make them medium size after the operation. So, you know, the skin renews itself every few months or days or whatever it is. Aren't those breasts... aren't they going to start sagging again? I'll listen on the radio.
All right.
Thank you, Dr. Lalala.
Okay.
Thank you,
and Dr. Bruce.
Thank you for your question. Yes, so during pregnancy, the breasts will grow because they're making, you know, you make the process, the physiological process of making milk for the baby. So they will get very engorged and big. And then post-breastfeeding, they will shrink down. And usually, the skin, when it stretches and recoils, then you will end up having excess skin, and then that's how the breast will then drop. So when we do the reduction, so we lift them up to the ideal position, your nipples to the ideal position, and then we give you this, you know, the ideal size for that fits your body. So that can be maintained for a long period. If you do maintain your weight. So if your weight fluctuates, if you gain weight, usually more than 15 kgs, then you start seeing the difference in the breast size, because the cells, the fat cells that are in the breast, they will gain size, and then you'll gain the cup size on your breast. And then if you lose weight again, then they will recoil. So the weight is very, very important in maintaining the results that we give you. And then also naturally, as we age, our skin loses elasticity. That's a process that we can't avoid. It's part of nature. So over time, usually around 15, 20 years, yes, you will start seeing sagging skin again because of the physical natural process of losing skin elasticity.
Mention was made of weight loss surgery. What is that, Dr. Bruce?
They are referring to bariatric surgery, where there's different types of operations that the general surgeons or the bariatric surgeons do in reducing your stomach size. And then in that way, you don't eat as much and then you lose a massive amount of weight. So usually that is done for patients who are weighing, you know, way more than 100, you know, 100, 150, 180 kgs.
Yeah.
So usually it's patients where you're targeting to lose 50 kgs plus. And those patients, once they lose all of that weight, then they come to us for contouring.
Right, right, right. Where does one go for breast reduction? I mean, weight loss surgery. Where do you go for that?
There are quite a number of bariatric surgeons in the country. And there are two main centers that I know of. There's one in Waterfall and one in Cape Town at Kingsbury. So, but there are other individual bariatric surgeons around the country.
Right,
yeah.
Right. This listener says, good evening, Aubrey and the doctor. I'm booked to have a breast reduction in June. I'm concerned about the scarring afterwards. The description of the surgery cut has been explained to me as the shape of a keyhole outline cut below the nipple area. The breast tissue to be pulled in and stitched, and the areola area to be cut around this and moved up. A permanent scarring, I'm told, but I will be... I'm told that it'll happen, but it'll fade in time. How long and how bad will the scarring be, asks this listener.
So the scarring, yes. We use what we call a wide key pattern or inverted T incision. So you will have a scar around your areola, but usually, in my experience, that fades away within a couple of weeks. The scar starts fading away. And then you have vertical scar going down on your breast, and also that fades away in a couple of months. And then the rest of the scar is hidden along your fold, what we call an IMF fold, inframammary fold, under the breast. So if there's no tension on the scar, then you will have a fine scar that fades away over time. So on average, it takes about 6 to 9 months for the scar to mature. But in other people, it can take up to 2 years for the scar to completely mature. However, we do have scar management protocols in place where we have specialized tape that we use. We have scar gels that we use. We have silicone sheets that we can use at different stages of your healing. And then also now we do have also what you call medical tattooing, where we can match your skin color by injecting a dye or active into the scar to camouflage it. And so there are a number of modalities that we can use to manage the scars. But it requires a lot of patience and a lot of compliance from the patient side.
Dr. Bruce, I've learned a lot this evening. I really have. And how this affects women mostly, of course. There are men who are victims of this kind of affliction, but it appears that women are by far the majority of the cases in this regard. Talk to me about costs, Doc. It sounds like quite a hefty price needs to be paid here.
Well, yes, it is. Honestly, most of the cost goes to the hospitals. So the hospitals in the private sector, they charge you per minute in theater.
Really?
And most of these operations take about 3 hours on average. So you can imagine being charged between 250 and 300 rand a minute in theater. So that's quite a hefty amount out of your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, even in the public sector, you still pay quite a significant amount to be on the waiting list for breast reduction. And I was chatting to a friend who's in the public sector. They have enormous waiting lists. I mean, one of the hospitals in Joburg, they have over 400 patients on their waiting list. That's despite you paying probably a quarter of what you'll pay in the private sector. But you still have to wait months, even years to get your breast reduction done. So it is a major problem in our country. And unfortunately, there's still debates with the medical aid.
Sure.
Because they still consider this as a cosmetic operation, which is very sad.
It's very sad indeed. Dr. Bruce Lalala, thank you so much for joining us this evening. How do people get in touch with you?
Thank you so much. I'm based in Hyde Park in Johannesburg, and my contact number is 010-350-0800, or they can contact our breast unit at Busamed Hospital, and the number is 087-2912-448, or they can contact me on via my website. It's www.drbrucelalala.co.za.